I'm Taylor Tarter, and this is Fastball Fantasy Baseball. Let's get into it. This episode is sponsored by the podcast Movies I Love That No One Talks About. Former film development executive Dan Benamor interviews writers, directors, and producers about underrated films. Guests have included the creator of John Wick, the Oscar-nominated screenwriter of A History of Violence, and the producer of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, talking about unheralded or underappreciated movies they either personally worked on or personally love. New episodes come out every week on any podcast platform you listen on. Sponsorships are open for future episodes. Listeners can support the show and pick a movie for Dan to cover. And more often than not, he can convince someone who worked on the film to come on the podcast. Look for Movies I Love That No One Talks About anywhere you listen to podcasts. And I'm a regular listener to his podcast, and I really enjoy it. He got a 5-star rating from me on Apple Podcasts where I listen. Now, whether you subscribe to my podcast on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else, please leave a 5-star rating for me as well. It helps us out. It is very much appreciated when you do that. Let's get into some player news updates. Casey Mize and Tarik Skubal have both made 2 starts for Detroit. Skubal got roughed up in his first appearance, but looked good in his second start, though he was still pulled from the game early. They look to be kind of ramping him up slowly. Mize showed his filthy strikeout stuff, but also got tagged for 7 hits and 3 runs on 4 innings in his first game. In his second game, he gave up 3 runs on 5 hits with only 2 strikeouts, although it was against a tougher opponent in the Cubs. Tristan McKenzie was called up by the Indians, while Zach Plesac and Mike Clevinger have been away from the team. He had a sterling MLB debut, albeit it was against the Tigers. Be wary about his prospects going forwards. He's worth the speculative pickup, but he needs to prove he can pitch against a better hitting team before you leave him in for every game. He also isn't guaranteed to stay in the major leagues, which is important to understand in assessing his value. A poor start or a poor series of starts could earn him a demotion. The team might bring in more pitchers from the minors as they try to get a look at some younger guys, and as, you know, Clevinger and Plesac return to the team. Sixto Sanchez also got the call from the Marlins. He went 5 innings against the Nationals, striking out 4, giving up 6 hits and 3 earned runs with no walks. His next game isn't scheduled yet, but he could be an interesting option going forward. You can add him speculatively if you have the room, but definitely watch the next game with him on your bench, depending on the opponent. He looks like he's staying in the majors, which adds to his value over Tristan McKenzie, even though McKenzie did better in his first game. The MLB trade deadline is August 31st. Jeff Passan from ESPN is reporting that the definite sellers include Pittsburgh, Boston, Kansas City, Seattle, and the Los Angeles Angels. He also thinks that Detroit, Miami, and Baltimore could look to sell. He also predicts Seattle to trade Kyle Seager and the Angels to trade Andrelton Simmons. You know, Seager is the one with the real fantasy value, so pay attention to where he goes and definitely keep an eye on some of those guys who, you know, are in Pittsburgh, Boston, KC, Seattle, and the Angels, who are on 1-year deals, approaching free agency, you know, veterans that are doing well. You know, those guys could move, and depending on where they go to and depending on their playing time, their value could change. Seattle has already traded Vogelbach. They could look to lose, you know, some more hefty contracts or veteran players who have, you know, one-year deals. I'd also be watching Red Sox players as well, since they traded Workman to the Phillies. It could be a signal that they're kind of stripping down. Workman remains a good closer option despite the trade. Matt Barnes seems to be next in line. We'll get to him a little bit later. The Nationals could also be buyers after losing a starting second baseman and their number two pitcher in the same week. They're a team that doesn't really see themselves as needing to rebuild, so they definitely could be buyers as they look to improve to try to make a playoff spot. Let's get into some COVID updates.
Coronavirus!
There really aren't too many updates here, which is a good thing. The Mets should be back on schedule this week as they face the Marlins after their series against the Yankees was postponed due to the coronavirus. Keep an eye on their pitching staff and how they structure their pitching. Same for the Yankees going forwards. There's going to be a lot of doubleheaders between those two teams in the next couple of weeks. So just kind of keep an eye on their pitching situations. The Cleveland saga continues with Mike Clevinger and Zach Plesac. Clevinger is back today, Wednesday, but Plesac remains out until further notice. There are a few new injury updates as well. So Jose Quintana is off the injured list for the Cubs, but he is going to be in the bullpen, the team announced, which leaves some temporary value for Alec Mills going forwards in good matchups. But again, track that situation as it changes. Astros third baseman Alex Bregman is out at least 3 weeks with a hamstring injury. Hammy injuries are notorious for being unpredictable in terms of recovery time, so I would definitely try to make some alternate plans for the next couple of weeks, whether you have him slotted in at third base or shortstop. Remember, there's only about 5 weeks left of the season, so he might be gone for the rest of the year. He might be back in 2 weeks. He might be back in 10 days. You know, there's a lot of wiggle room there, so you definitely want to have a backup plan. Astros pitcher Jose Urquidy is close to returning, but still has no immediate timetable because someone at the Astros alternates training site tested positive for COVID. So his return is unclear whether he has to quarantine there or not. It's kind of up in the air. He's definitely worth an add when it seems like he's coming back for good. Tampa reliever Nick Anderson is out on the 10-day injured list for a forearm issue, but it's expected to only require the minimum stay. Diego Castillo is likely to pick up saves for the Rays in the meantime. DJ LeMahieu should be coming back soon. Gleyber Torres was put on the IL by the Yankees because of hamstring tightness. Again, you know, hamstrings are unpredictable. He's hoping for the minimum stay on the injured list, but I'd be planning for him to be out longer. Dylan Moore, who's had a really hot start for Seattle, injured his wrist over the weekend. He's another player who might need only the minimum stay, the minimum 10 days to recover. So keep an eye on that situation. Watch his movement in your leagues. If somebody drops him, definitely try to get him. Drew Pomeranz is dealing with some shoulder tightness, which is not good for pitchers. It's been a really unfortunate couple of weeks for Padres closers. It looks like a serious injury. Looks like he could be out for a while. There's no timetable right now for his return. I'd expect Emilio Pagan and Jose Castillo to split saves in Slam Diego. The two most significant recent injuries have been to Yordan Alvarez and Steven Strasburg. For Alvarez, he's been put on the 45-day injured list, but is going to miss the rest of the season for sure. He needs surgery to repair a partially torn patella tendon. Strasburg is out on the 60-day IL and is going to be having season-ending surgery to repair the carpal tunnel neuritis in his throwing hand. In regards to all of the pitcher injuries that have been happening, MLB insider for ESPN, Buster Olney, reported on Twitter that the number of pitchers on the IL over the first 28 days of a season have gone up from 38 in 2018 to 41 in 2019 to 108 in 2020. And only 20 of those 108 have been COVID-related. So what this tells me is that streaming pitchers this year is essential. Unless you are absolutely stacked at pitching, you need to stream. You have to be aware of the matchups, which means you have to be aware of how to evaluate pitchers. I really suggest going back and listening to the series of episodes I did on various pitching sabermetrics that you can use to evaluate pitchers. You know, with all the injuries in the past couple of days, I'm gonna review who you should be looking into picking up this week, specifically focusing on where the injuries have been happening most. So second base, third base, and shortstop. Pitchers we'll talk about in the Am I Streaming segment, and then we'll get to relievers a little later in the reliever roundup. Right now, let's talk drop ads.
I lift things up and put them down.
So some of the most added second basemen are Jake Cronenworth, who's also eligible at shortstop. Wilmer Flores, also eligible at first base. Tommy La Stella, also eligible at first and third. And Robinson Cano. So this is Cronenworth's rookie year. And for rookies, there isn't a lot of historical data to look at on Fangraphs. The minors don't keep track of things like hard contact rate or plate discipline metrics. But from what I can see this year, he's hitting the ball hard, though mostly, you know, he's hitting line drives and ground balls. I don't expect him to be a home run hitter, but he does get on base. He doesn't strike out much, so there's definitely value in adding him. Wilmer Flores is a player I don't expect to continue hitting home runs. You know, the most he's ever hit is 18, and he's already at 7 this year. On the surface, he looks really good, but his home run to fly ball rate is double his career average. It's really inflated. So you can reasonably assume he's getting fortunate there that some of those borderline fly balls are carrying out of the park. And as that number regresses, so are the numbers that affect his power. You could try to ride the wave there. You could try to ride the hot streak, but he's only going to be temporarily productive. So be ready to drop him once you see the spiral coming. Tommy La Stella, on the other hand, I like a lot. He walks twice as much as he strikes out, so he's getting on base. He's hitting the ball hard, and he's putting it into the air 42% of the time as fly balls and 20% of the time as line drives. Those are the productive type of hits. That's what you want. He does have some sneaky power. He does have some sneaky speed, and his BABIP is lower than it should be, meaning the average is probably going to come up. He could be a 5-category bat for you with multiple position eligibility. What more could you ask for? So for Cano, I expect the batting average to go down first off. His BABIP is really high so far this year. However, I do think he could finish the season with a 300 average. He is demolishing the ball, but most of his hits are going for line drives, which are not usually as productive as fly balls because fly balls turn into home runs. He's never been much of a fly ball hitter, but his fly ball percent is a little bit lower than normal. So as that evens out, he should start hitting a few more home runs. Otherwise, he should be pretty productive and is worth an add. Some third basemen being added in a lot of leagues are Yandy Diaz, who's also eligible at first base, Alec Bohm, and Evan Longoria. For me, Yandy Diaz is simple. He doesn't hit the ball hard. He hits a ton of ground balls. He doesn't put the ball in the air, and he doesn't play every day. Not worth an add, in my opinion. Bohm is similar to Cronenworth in that we don't have much historical data, but we can see he walks a lot. He's decent at not striking out. His BABIP is 400, which is super high. So the batting average will come down. But some positives, you know, he's hitting the ball hard, though not as hard as I like. And his ground ball rate is a little bit higher than I like, but not terrible. But the big thing is he's productive. You know, I could see all those numbers improving as the season goes on. You could pick him up if you need a productive bat at third base, but I will say don't be afraid to drop him if he slows down. And the last third baseman that I'll recommend is Evan Longoria. He's worth an add if you need third base. He is sneaky productive on an overlooked team. Some of the other guys on the Giants I've talked about, I don't expect them to keep up their production. With Longoria, I do. He hits the ball hard, he puts the ball in the air, and he's probably available in your leagues right now. And two of the top added shortstops are Nick Ahmed and Luis Garcia, who's also eligible at second base. Shortstop free agency is pretty thin right now, so there isn't a lot to recommend. Ahmed's strikeout rate is pretty high. His BABIP is high, and his ground ball rate is high. He is hitting the ball hard, and that's keeping him relevant, but all those other metrics are going to regress back to his norm, and so will his production, and to me, he's not worth an add. Garcia, on the other hand, I would add as sort of like a speculative pickup. Someone you shouldn't be afraid to drop if he starts slipping. He's one of those rookies where we don't have a ton of historical data, but the big things for him are that he's getting consistent playing time, is multiple position eligible, and he's in a productive lineup. So I'm going to take a quick break, but I'll be right back to look at some players who've been heating up this past week.
That Hansel's so hot right now.
Have you seen what Jose Abreu has been doing lately? It is unreal. 7 home runs in the last week. He had 2 games with multiple home runs, and then a game with a single home run, all back to back to back. Cody Bellinger has been heating up after a slow start. He was tinkering with his swing at the end of last season and into this year and seems to have finally figured it out, and now he's on fire. But those two guys are definitely not available in your league, and in order to acquire them, you'd probably have to break the bank. So who's hot right now that might not be rostered in your league, but is worth an add? Lourdes Gurriel from Toronto might be available. He had a slow start to the season, but is worth an add now. He's striking out a bit more than I'd like, and he's not hitting the ball quite as hard as I'd like, but there is some room for improvement there. He's shown that he can be productive in those areas from last season. And he does hit for power in a decent lineup, so there is an opportunity for production from him. I also like Christian Walker a little bit more, even though he hasn't been as productive in the last week as Gurriel. His metrics suggest a little bit of regression in batting average, but the power is legit, and it's starting to come around. You're going to want to snag him going forwards before somebody else does in your league. As far as the pitchers that are on fire, Lucas Giolito, Aaron Civale, and Framber Valdez have all had great weeks. Giolito just no-hit the Padres in absolutely spectacular fashion. If Valdez is on waivers in your league, he's worth an add, but chances are he's been rostered already. 2 pitchers available in a lot of leagues who have had a good week are Brad Keller and Tommy Malone. Keller hasn't really given up home runs. He's walking a lot of batters, and his BABIP is low. Once those numbers even out, his ERA for sure will spike, and all of his other metrics suggest that, you know, he's not as good as he looks on the surface. Malone, on the other hand, is getting you strikeouts. His BABIP is actually pretty reasonable, and his metrics suggest that there could be some slight positive regression in his future. I would consider him matchup dependent, but worth an add against the right team. And to get a little bit more into some other pitchers I would add, let's talk about streaming. So there are 3 Angels pitchers with a good weekend series matchup against Seattle. You have Andrew Haney on Friday, Griffin Canning on Saturday, and Dylan Bundy on Sunday. Bundy's probably rostered in your league, but the other two guys are worth an add for the weekend. Tony Gonsolin for the Dodgers has a great Sunday matchup against the Rangers. He is doing really well and might be worth an add for the rest of the season. Milwaukee's Corbin Burnes is pitching against Pittsburgh on Friday. He has really good strikeout stuff, and he's worth an add for that matchup. Rich Hill is worth an add for his Sunday start against Detroit. A's pitcher Chris Bassett faces Texas on Thursday in a good matchup. I'd feel comfortable starting Garrett Richards for his game against Seattle on Thursday, but I would drop him before he faces the Angels next week. So one thing you'll notice is that a lot of the streaming options are coming against Pittsburgh, Seattle, Detroit, and Texas. So that's something to kind of watch for as you're looking for streaming options, is who is the matchup against. And so finally, let's go ahead and get into the reliever roundup. So kind of mentioned this before, Matt Barnes, he is now the guy in Boston. He picked up 2 saves in the last week since Workman has been traded to the Phillies. He's worth an add if you need saves. Daniel Bard picked up 2 saves in that same time frame, but to me, he isn't worth adding in shallow leagues. If you need saves in a deeper league, you can pick him up, but I wouldn't count on him. Other than that, there are not a ton of consistent saves out there. I mentioned before Jose Castillo and Emilio Pagan are probably worth adding with Pomeranz out, but you're definitely going to have to wait and see on how that situation shakes out. Your best bet right now, if you need saves, is to trade for them at this point. And again, I just wanted to remind you as we wrap up that you can subscribe for free on whatever platform you're listening on. And to remind you to give the show a 5-star rating and a nice review. And if you want, you can do a paid subscription to earn some rewards and to support the podcast. I'll be back next week with some more updates on player news. In the meantime, feel free to reach out via the show's email, fastballfantasybaseball@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.